Should Paul Skeens start the All-Star game? That is the question rattling the fabric of our nation. And we, on this episode of Baseball Barbacast, will have the bravery to discuss it.
Yes, we will. We're also going to talk about some other things we need to talk about. Rhys Hines, Rowdy Tellez is back, and some other news and notes. All-Star game is coming up, folks, but it's Wednesday, and it's Baseball Barbacast.
Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world that should start the All-Star game on the mound, even though we've never thrown a pitch. I'm Jake Mintz, that's Jordan Schusterman, and I think we've earned it.
Yeah, you know, so much discourse about Paul Skeens starting the All-Star game, and it's like the American League doesn't exist. Nobody cares who starts for the American League. I think as long as Paul Skeens is starting for the National League, I think we could go out there and start for the AL, and I think most people would be satisfied. We are going to talk about that concept and just the concept of All-Star Game starter, which is both an obvious honor and also kind of a random one throughout the course of history due to a bunch of factors. We have a couple things that we absolutely need to talk about. Two hitters that are on some pretty significant hot streaks, Rhys Hines over the last 48 hours and Rowdy Tellez over the last 480 hours. I don't know how long an hour is, how many hours a month is off the top of my head. And then after the break, talk about our couple of All-Star replacements. The home run derby field is finally filling out. And some coaches said some funny stuff. Or I guess some managers, but we still call them coaches because I guess we're still in college baseball mode. Jake, let us begin, though, with the starter. Of course, that's where we should begin. Next week in Texas.
No openers.
No, well, it's funny you say that. The All-Star game is just one opener after the other. As the All-Star game starter is an interesting concept. And of course, with Paul Skeens being named to the team and him being all the rage this summer in Major League Baseball, the conversation, should he start? Would it be the right thing for the game to do? I think some of this is a little bit overblown. I think the fact that he will be there is already both deserved and doing most of the job, right? I don't think if he doesn't start the All-Star game, people are going to forget that he exists and or not watch the next time he starts. However, we do have to acknowledge, even though we are watching, you know, every Paul Skeens start, no matter when it is, this is an opportunity to showcase him. It is an opportunity to showcase some players that some people don't necessarily get to see all the time or are willing to watch all the time. Let's start with the Skeens thing, and then let's get to the bigger, you know, who should start beyond him or in the American League.
I'd like to start even further back, Jordan, at the Big Bang, the beginning of time.
Okay, sure, yeah.
I think discussing who should start the All-Star game this year gets to the very foundation of the point of the All-Star game itself. And I think it's important to understand like why we even have an All-Star game to begin with. You know, back in the day, before there was MLB TV and TikTok and Riz, you know, There was radio, and there was going to the yard. Like, that was it. And so if you lived in a city with just an American League team or just a National League team, you never got to see the best players in the other league. So, you know, if you lived in, for instance, Cincinnati, Ted Williams was something that showed up in newspapers and on the radio and like the World Series, if you were lucky, right? Mm-hmm. And over time, with interleague and TV, and now MLB TV, where you can just sit here in New York City, where I am, and watch Shohei Ohtani in Los Angeles, like whenever I want, the All-Star game kind of takes on a different purpose. It's no longer about fans getting a glimpse of all of these players, right? It's about people who maybe aren't fans getting a very abbreviated taste of what the baseball season has been to this point and what it may be for the rest of the year. Now, I don't think that that necessarily points to like, oh, and then it has to be Skeens or, oh, then it has to be Chris Sale. Sure. I think it is a really interesting conversation about the point of the game itself and why it exists. You know, I think the important thing to get out of the way, you know, friend of the show and colleague of ours, Russ Dorsey, I believe, was on MLB Network yesterday and had a point about how I think he was insinuating that Skeens shouldn't be an all-star. Mm. And like, I disagree with that. Like, I think he has been more than good enough in the relatively short amount of time that he should be an all-star. I think it's fair to push back against the idea of him being a starter. But where do you kind of land on all this?
Yeah, I think that, again, it's the combination of, okay, this is a chance where a lot of people are watching and people that haven't necessarily watched him yet can be like, oh, this is now someone I want to follow more. Combined with the, even though it is obviously, I don't know what the artificial, he would face three of the best hitters in the world, right, to start the game. And like that in and of itself is a fun thing, right? Those individual matchups, even in games that don't count, that is also one of the beauties of the MLB All-Star game, is that even though it doesn't matter, you can't half-ass it, right? This is the one thing, we don't even really like the All-Star game that much, but like Paul Skeens, if he starts the game or whatever he comes in, if he pitches, which it seems like with his schedule, he probably will just because of when he's starting next, which I think is tomorrow. He's not going to go up there throwing 90 miles an hour, right?
And,
so,
and this is why
baseball
has the best All-Star game still, even.
Yeah.
Because in football and basketball and hockey, when you watch it, everyone's playing at 85%. And it's just, And it's just a bizarre disconnect in reality.
Yeah.
The pitchers are throwing as hard as they can.
Yeah.
Right.
Or at least it is a reflective of what they are capable of. And I think that that is something that we will never, even if the game and the result doesn't matter, the hitters, like, there's more injury risk if they are not trying, you know, like that's the thing, like they have to go out there and do their best. Now, that said, the when you expand this to just like what an all-star starter is, it's funny, right? Because we are talking about likely one inning. Something that I will probably bring back on Friday, just kind of, I just reminded myself that you can do stat head searches on Baseball Reference for all-star games. And so, which I'm just going to tease that because I have more on that coming on Friday. But just for this purpose, I was like, okay, what's the most innings ever thrown in an all-star game? Right? Because obviously now it's two innings max. I'm looking at recently the most innings anyone's thrown in the last like 10 years is two. And that was Corbin Burnes in 2021. And he wasn't even the starter.
The bulk guy. He was the bulk guy
to get it from the second to the third inning. And he allowed two runs, right? He allowed a homer in that outing. So, but otherwise, obviously nobody is throwing more than two or three innings. So it is just the kind of that opportunity to who can show off in one inning. And Paul Skeens in that sense is a great answer for that. Like, regardless of the season, like, just if you're just saying, who could entertain me the most over the course of one inning? Just based on the stuff, forget the stats, forget, like, he's one of the first picks. I don't think you can deny that.
I would say my other pick would be the opposite of Paul Skeens. It would be like Kyle Hendricks, who's not an all-star. Be like, you're throwing 88.
Very much not an all-star this year.
And you've been getting crushed. Yeah. Let's just put you up there against Judge and Soto and just throw you to the wolves and see what happens.
Well, let's expand it then. I mean, who should, besides Skeens, I mean, are there any guys that either stand out or,
one other thing I want to do. So just for context, last year it was Gerrit Cole for the AL, Zach Gallen for the NL, Shane McClanahan and Kershaw in 22, Otani and Scherzer in 21. And then Chris Sale, who's in the mix to start for the NL this year after just an incredible bounce back season so far. He started in 16, 17, and 18. And as far as we can tell, is one of a handful of pitchers who have started three in a row.
Yeah.
You know, so he's been there and he's done this. The argument for Paul Skeens is this, right? He is the most compelling and exhilarating pitcher on the planet. He brings in eyeballs that other guys other than Otani don't bring. Right now, there is legitimate excitement around him as far as pitchers are concerned. He has been sensational in the limited amount of time he's been in the big leagues. If he had been in the big leagues from opening day to now, it would, in my opinion, not even be a question if he was putting up these numbers. Now, the argument against him is that he's made 10 starts, right? A lot of bad pitchers, which he is not, to be clear, he's good, I understand. A lot of bad pitchers have made 10 good starts in a row, all right? A lot of mediocre pitchers have made 10 good starts in a row. Just for context, not to say that Trevor Williams is a good pitcher or a bad pitcher or a mediocre pitcher. He and Paul Skeens have the exact same F4 right now in a very similar amount of innings. And I don't think there's anybody who's like, let Trevor Williams start the All-Star game.
Sure.
But it's 10 starts, right? And I think people are like wary of rewarding 10 starts. He has a 2.12 ERA in those 10 starts, but it's like, is this a deserved honor for someone who's only been in the big leagues for a short amount of time? When you compare that to someone like Chris Sale, who has, you know, the epitome of tenure, that's why people wouldn't want to give it to Paul Skeens.
Yeah, but then that gets to the other notion of just like, obviously anyone that gets to do this when they do the press conference the day before is going to say, what an honor, this is so special, blah, blah, blah. And like, it is, I'm not saying it isn't. But like, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong and we can talk to some of these players about this. Probably off the record. It's like, is Logan Webb going to be pissed if Paul Skeens starts? You know, like, is Chris Sale going to be pissed if Paul Skeens starts? Like, ultimately, the All-Star game in terms of their participation, I just don't know. They're already there. Like, most people, the fact we had to go back and remind ourselves who started these games in a way that we don't necessarily have to do, which is the number of All-Star game appearances they make. So that's something that
I disagree.
I don't know. Yeah.
I disagree with that. Like, in my head, I vividly remember Ohtani throwing the first inning in Denver. And I vividly remember Kershaw getting to do it in Los Angeles, right? And I actually remember Shane McClanahan doing that too, because he got knocked around a little bit. But I think it is most people watch the first inning.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
Right? And yeah, I think that's important.
I don't even know if I'm taking a stance on whether it is that important or isn't. I just think that's something I'm curious about too, is like how the other players would perceive it.
Yeah.
If he is chosen. Now that's
would imagine that like Logan Webb's teammates are gonna be like more ticked about this than Logan Webb.
Sure. Yeah. That seems like a fair assessment. Now, as we sit here now, the other starters in the NL, Glasnow, scratched, injured, Hunter Green just replaced him. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Imanaga, Reynaldo Lopez, Sale, Skeens, Ranger Suarez, Logan Webb, Zach Wheeler.
Now Wheeler's not going.
And I would say the pitching schedules might determine this as well.
Wheeler would, to me, be the right pick if he was healthy. If you want to do the Career Achievement Award, it's only his second All-Star game, which is very bizarre. He has been one of the best pitchers in the league over the last 5 years, and giving him a chance to pitch on that stage, I think, would be totally fine if you picked Wheeler over Skeens. I don't think anybody would be pissed, including Paul Skeens. That's the other thing, right? Like, if they don't pick Paul Skeens, Paul Skeens is going to be like, yeah, I just got here. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. Paul Skeens, because he's Paul Skeens, I'm sure thinks he should start the game, because he probably thinks he should start any game that's important, which is fair because that's been his life. The other one, again, in a smaller sample of innings, is the fact that Reynaldo Lopez has a 1.71 ERA, like the lowest in the league by far. Now, again, he only has 90 innings too, but you know, maybe that would be one that would maybe stand out there. So what about the
Here's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm at. If Chris Sale wasn't throwing on Sunday, I would give it to him. Because I would then have Skeens like lined up to face the top of the order for their second at bats. Because what MLB wants, and what is in theory good for the sport, we want the clip of Skeens facing Soto and Judge. Really, like that's what MLB wants. Obviously, no freaking duh, right? And that's what we all want. And so there's still a way to create that moment without making him start the game. Like you just have him throw the third inning, right? And you hope that it lines up correctly.
Yeah.
It probably will. Sale is famous enough and the storyline is compelling enough with him bouncing back. And his performance has been so utterly dominant that I think he is the deserving, in quotes, deserving person to start the game. That's who I would pick. Now, because he's not available, I think I would then give it to Skeens.
Yeah. And we'll see where Lavello, and we talk about, is it up? Is Lavello making that decision? You know, who knows? It seems like they do to some degree, and other times. Obviously, Lavello is not going to lose too much sleep over this, but also he did earn the opportunity to be the manager of the All-Star team, and so he is probably going to, you know, make some decisions there.
The last thing I'll say here before we move on, I mean, if I understand, like, he's not thrown that many innings, but it's not this is not like charity, right? It's not as if like Paul Skeens is Adam Wainwright in his final season. I mean, if you lower, or if you have the minimum innings limit at 50 innings, Paul Skeens has the second lowest ERA in the National League behind only Reynaldo Lopez at a 2.12. He has the highest K per nine in the National League, barely ahead of Tyler Glasnow. Okay. He has been unbelievable. Unbelievable. His walk rate for a guy who is throwing like as hard as he's throwing, he is the 12th lowest walk per nine in baseball, right? Like, this is not a handout if he gets to start the game. No, let's just be very clear about
it. He earned
that.
It.
That's who I would pick.
No,
that's who I would pick given the circumstances. Now, in the American League, I think it's a very different conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, well, clearly, because Paul Skeens is not eligible. Now, who would you say? If there's one that's, and again, I'm not as locked in on the exact starting schedules, so forgive me if some of these guys like have no chance of doing it. But let's think about it strictly from the same perspective of both deserving and maybe reflective of the seasons that they're having, or just would be the guy that you would want to give that spotlight to. I mean, to me, it's Crochet or Skubal, and I don't even think it's really close.
I don't think it can be Crochet. I think it can't be Crochet because the White Sox suck that much. And that's not fair to him. I understand that. But I can't imagine Major League Baseball like wants the White Sox to be center stage.
That's true. Unless they basically.
The other option is like, this guy's definitely getting traded. He could be on your team in a month.
It's the same thing that we did with Soto. You know, to some degree in 22, but obviously it's a little bit different. Also, I don't know if there's a level of the White Sox being like, hey, Garrett, maybe don't go throw 102 miles an hour in the All-Star game. We need you feeling in tip-top shape before you ship you off for five top 100 prospects.
Three options in my mind. It could be Crochet, it could be Skubal, or it could be Corbin Burns. I think those are the three that make sense. You could, if you sat me down and you yelled at me, you could convince me Seth Lugo, but I think that's a harder sell. Burns is the most famous person. He has won a Cy Young.
He's like on this list of pitchers. Oh man. Yeah. On this list of pitchers, I mean, even relative to the NL, you know, except for Sale, he's, and I guess Wheeler and Glasnow to some degree, and Glasnow's not going to be there. He's light years ahead of fame and recognition among these AL pitchers. I mean, oh my gosh, right? Now, again, with McClanahan as precedent, it would not be wild to see Skubal start at all because it's a pretty comparable ascent and similar levels of dominance.
The reason I'd pick Skubal is I think he's going to win the Cy Young, and I think he's the best pitcher in the American League right now, and I think that's a cool thing to highlight. Like, that would be my pick. I don't think it's too complicated. You could convince me it would be Burns. I mean, you made a good point before we started recording. Like, what are the managers going to do? And the idea of Bruce, like, what, putting ourselves in Bruce Bochy's mind, like, he's picking Burns, right? Like, Bruce Bochy's probably like, oh, Corbin Burns.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think, and that's the thing, I just have no idea what goes into those decisions. So anyway, those are our All-Star Game Stars. If you have thoughts about it, let us know. BaseballBarberCast@gmail.com. All right, Jake, before we take a break, we need to talk about a couple other things. Two players in particular who have captured the imagination of the Midwest. Oh, is Pittsburgh the Midwest? Who's to say? Conflicting answers on that. Let us know. BaseballBarberCast@gmail.com.
Sax Boy said kind of.
Sax Boy said kind of. Who would you like to talk about first, Rowdy Tellez or Rhys Hines?
Two big old boys, baby. A lot of power in the house. Let's start with Rhys Hines, who came up this week and made his major league debut and ripped long balls away in both of his first two games. Jordan Schusterman, Rhys Hines has been on your radar for quite some time. I would say the Rhys Hines story begins in all intent and purposes, right? Like at the 2018 Home Run Derby, where if you watch the Home Run Derby, you know that in between the major league boys, the high school guys do their own little derby during the ad break. The top two guys, they do the Home Run Derby. Like the full thing is a couple days before. They have the finalists compete on the night of the MLB Homer Derby. And that year, the high school finalists, I believe, were Reese Hines and Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby Witt Jr. is someone you knew about before this week. Chances are Reese Hines is not someone you knew about before this week. So, Jordan, with your baseball development, minor league draft, dork brain, can you please Reese Hines explain everybody?
Oh, well, the first thing as we open up his baseball reference page here, Jake, is September 5th. September 5th birthday for Reese Hines. So we love that. So you got a friend now, 5 years younger than you, of course, but that's very exciting. But yeah, so that was, you know, the summer of 2018. That's going into his senior year. And Reese Hines was, but that was what he was known as. I can hit the ball far. You know, he was considered a, you know, a possible top few round pick, but he was not a polished player in the way that Bobby Witt Jr. obviously was, because then he goes second overall. Now, Reese Hines ends up going in the second round to the Reds. The Reds have long loved players with ridiculous tools. We'll get to the comparison people are already making in a second here. But it was just kind of a slow climb. You know, when you draft Reese Hines, it's going to take some time. You're going to take some lumps. And obviously, too, anyone drafted in 2019 and then immediately has to not have a season in 2020, that obviously slows your development. But it had been a slow climb, striking out a ton, hitting a bunch of home runs. And last year, but it wasn't quite getting there. He was striking out too much to really be hitting like 20, 30 home runs a year. Until last year, when in AA, he seemed to turn a corner. Had an 866 OPS in AA, but it was still a lot of strikeouts, and the defense wasn't great in the outfield. He wasn't a third baseman anymore. And it was like, all right, well, I don't know if he would. I was like, I'm not sure the Reds are going to protect him from the Rule 5 draft. He was eligible to be Rule 5 if they didn't add him to the 40 man. And I was like, I don't know if Reese Hines is ready to contribute to the big leagues next year. Like, I don't think they're going to protect him, but they did. And I was like, okay, so the Reds clearly still do believe in him. Fast forward to him getting called up 2 days ago, and I hadn't really followed him this year. And I was like, oh, Reese Hines, like, presumably he's like been kind of making the steps forward in AAA. Not the case. Reese Hines was hitting 216 with a 36% strikeout rate in AAA over 77 games. He hadn't really been making the adjustments, but as we just talked about a few days ago, the Reds have been so desperate for any semblance of right-handed impact that they were like, screw it. Like, we got to try something different. This kid's awesome. He's done everything we could have asked him to, even though he hasn't necessarily made all the adjustments. This is the kind of guy that can give you a jolt, right? Maybe it's not going to last all the way through the season, and maybe he is going to get exposed at some point, but it couldn't have gone any better. He's the first player in Major League history to have 5 extra base hits over his first 2 games, a very basic stat that kind of blew my mind when Sarah Langs tweeted it out. And it's not just 2 home runs. It's 2 450-foot home runs. You know, he's already hitting balls farther than we've seen most guys all season, but that's been Reese Hines all along. And so for him to kind of have this moment, someone who, by all accounts, is just an incredible person off the field, incredible teammate, someone who has kind of taken his lumps all the way through the minor leagues, but also has done quite enough to put himself in position to be considered here. It's a great story. And, you know, hot streaks like this, you got to appreciate them while they happen, even over 2 games. It's the kind of player that just statistically, you look at his record, pitchers are going to start attacking him very specifically very soon, and he's going to start striking out a bunch. Hope I'm wrong. That's just what logic and history tells me. That doesn't mean I can't enjoy it now. If he can defy that, obviously that's great. If he can have an Aquino-esque run over the next few weeks, that would be amazing. The Reds certainly need it. But yeah, I think the Aquino comps are both apt, but also funny, because Aquino in 19, he was destroying AAA. Like, it was to the point, and he was older, but it was to the point where I was like, well, we have to call this guy up. And then, of course, he has this all-time juice ball, you know, heroics over these next few weeks. I don't know if that's in store for Reese Hines here, but it's one of those things where we've talked about this before. He's already done what they needed him to do. You know, like, what he's been able to do over these last few years and kind of re-energize the clubhouse, re-energize the lineup against the poopy Rockies. Like, it's the stage you want to give him. That's fine. It's already been a success, and he gets to be a big leaguer forever, which, you know, at times over his journey, it was not obvious that Reese Hines was going to make the major leagues. And so I think that in and of itself is exciting, and we'll see what happens next. When he connects, the ball certainly goes very far.
Speaking of people who, when they connect, the ball goes very far, I need to talk about Rowdy Tellez. On June 1st, Rowdy Tellez, the beefy Pittsburgh Pirates first baseman, had a batting line of 177, 239, 223. That is a 177 batting average and a 463 OPS. 463. And this is not exactly someone who is providing ancillary value with their base running and defense. Let's be very clear. Rowdy is a boy meant to swing that bat. And Pirates fans, let me say, understandably, were calling for Rowdy's release because you can't hit that poorly for a team that is trying to win and for an offense that is scuffling to that extent. But general manager, he's the GM, right? He's not the Pobo.
Yeah, they don't have enough money to have a Pobo and a GM.
Yeah, not my president. GM Ben Cherington, not anyone's president. GM Ben Cherington held firm on Rowdy Tellez. And since June 2nd, Rowdy Tellez has turned that beat around. He has an OPS of 1,035. He is slashing. He has a 352 batting average. Now, granted, that is inflated by a 379.
It's like literally double
batting
though.
Average on balls in play. Yeah, that's
but
the
it's
thing.
Like
Rowdy Tellez was like the most unlucky player and was bad for 2 months and has been very lucky and good for about, you know, almost a month and a half now. Here are the players. He has the 10th best OPS over that span. Okay. Here are the players with a better OPS than Rowdy Tellez. This is such a good list. Better players with a better OPS than Rowdy Tellez. I'll set the minimum plate appearances at 80.
Yeah, this is since June 2nd, I believe.
Yeah, he is. No, I'll set the plate appearances at 60. Let's get weird. Okay. Number one,
jump ahead of
Aaron
him?
Judge. Yeah. Aaron Heard Judge. Of him. Aaron Judge. Heard of him? Pretty good.
Yeah.
Number two, Austin Hayes. Sure.
Sure. That platoon is working out wonderfully for him. So
that is true.
Yeah.
Jose Miranda, Twins, 12 straight hits. Yep. That'll help. Shohei Ohtani, great. Rafi Devers, no freaking duh. Yordan Alvarez, yes. Bryce Harper, very good. Gunnar Henderson, outstanding. Kyle Higashioka, Padres. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Kyle Higashioka, let me just squeeze this in here. I meant to tweet it last night. Already set a career high at home runs. If you lower the minimum plate appearances to 100 across the whole season, he is second in ISO behind only his old friend Aaron Judge. Kyle Higashioka. Incredible. I don't know what the hell's going on there, but God bless him.
And then Rowdy Tellez. Rowdy Tellez is 10th. the Pirates, who have been just thirsty for any sort of offensive production, has gotten it from Tellez. Like, if they go on a cold streak, does he get traded? as man. A one-year
dude, that's, free agent? It's kind of funny how that goes. And then the idea that it could go, like, the Pirates go in the tank and they trade him, and then Pirates fans are, like, mad that they traded Rowdy. Like, what a turn, right?
Yeah.
Like, this guy, like, literally was getting booed, and, like, no one was getting called for DFAs more. And now he's getting, you know, Rowdy chance. Like, it was so predictable. I mean, again, that's the thing. You knew that as soon as he had a stretch like this, he would become one of the most beloved players in Pittsburgh. And
Rowdy
Tellez, we like this guy a lot.
He's easy to hate and easy to like if you're like a fan. You know what I mean? And so it just depends on how he's hitting, right? It's really that simple.
Right now, and man, last night, first homer of the season against the lefty. That's how you know he's feeling it. First of all, fact that he's even facing one, and then the fact that that he gets to do that. I think he had two hits against the lefty before last night, before he took Hobie Milner, just like absolutely rocket shot to right field. So anyway, Rowdy, we love you. We're very happy that you have turned this around. I know the overall season line still doesn't look amazing, but it sure looks better than it did a month ago. So
that's
good
because
for him.
He was so ass for two whole months. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll fly through the news. And welcome back to Baseball Barbacast. Jake Mintz, Jordan Schusterman. Before we hop into the news, Jordan, I guess this does qualify as news. It is that point in the season where Brian Cashman feels the need to do an emergency press conference to wave away the Yankees woes. He is on the trip with the team to Tampa, which makes sense because they're based there in spring training. They have the facility, but Cashman and I believe Hal Steinbrenner have been around the team this series, which is like when you're misbehaving in school and like your parents sit in. Does this ever happen to you? Certainly happened to me.
Yeah, I would say also, I think Steinbrenner spends most of his time down in old Tampa, Florida.
Yeah,
so he gets to come on down, but like, oh, things aren't going so well. You know, they lose again last night. But yeah, did Cashman already do a presser? Did he say something interesting?
Yeah, he already talked. He was like, we got to be better. He did the, I am usually pro Brian Cashman. I know that a lot of people, Yankees people, fans are not. But he didn't say anything particularly revealing or, you know, nothing that really rankled the feathers.
Or rankled.
Email us, baseballbarbacast@gmail.com. But the reason I bring up the Yankees here is I have a question for you.
Okay.
Aaron Judge and Juan Soto are both incredible. From now, July 10th until the final day of the regular season, which New York Yankee has the third highest OPS over the rest of the season?
Now, you know, this is where minimum plate appearances is also going to matter, because if Stanton comes back, which like he still might be my pick, I think. Now, the question that you're asking me is it Ben Rice? Which, I mean, it's not even as much about how much I believe in Ben Rice, which is like a decent amount, about how little I believe in everybody else. So I guess I would pick him, even if it's at like 110 and not 151 or whatever he's done so far. I think my second pick would honestly still be Glaber. I know he's looked awful, but I'm just like the last Glaber believer. I don't know. God, I have no idea. This is obviously the whole problem. Who you're around the Yankees more? Do you have a belief in any of these like struggling veterans, or Volpe for that matter, who's obviously really sucked for the last few weeks?
If I had to like take a delta between what they've done and what they will do,
no one's even getting on base. Oh,
yeah. I think Verdugo has the highest floor. He would be my last pick to finish last, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Verdugo is hilarious to me because his personality and his game are so different. Like, he is such a boring player and such a fascinating character. Like, he's just a 100 OPS plus guy who plays like a good corner outfield. Like, that is nap time. That is not an exhilarating watch.
Totally.
Right? But he's Alex Verdugo, so it's interesting. I would probably say from now to the rest of the season, yikes, this is not good.
I'm not picking LeMahieu, okay? So we'll cross him out. I'm not picking Oswaldo. Bless his heart. Seems like a great guy. To me, I think because Verdugo has the highest floor, it's him or Rice. Again, I'm the last Glaber believer, so I'm going to say Glaber, and if I'm right, I'll feel good about it. But yeah, that's where I'm at. Or
I'll take DJ LeMahieu. I'll take DJ LeMahieu.
Or that's a horrible pick. You don't believe that. Or it's mystery trade acquisition X. Right? Like, that's the other answer. So
it's Josh Bell.
Yeah, that's the other one. Well, no, you got Ben Rice. You can't have Josh Bell.
Oh, right. Sorry.
So, but like, I don't know, people said Jazz, like that would be Luis Rengifo and fun and yeah, right. So anyway, that might be the best pick. Like, if you're making odds, I don't know, might be the best pick.
Producer Andrew Hartz, Yankees fan extraordinaire, please come on, and you are allowed two words, and those two words are going to be the name of the player you believe will have the highest OPS from now to the rest of the year. Do not explain your answer. Do not waver. Do not complain about the New York Yankees. Please come on and just say the two words.
You are the Yankees fan. Just say the two words and then we're going to move on.
Ben Rice.
Ben Rice. Yeah. He is drinking the Kool-Aid.
How could he not, man? Ben Rice is the only guy doing his job, except for, you know, the Judge and Soto guys. All right, let's move on, Jake. No more Yankees. Just kidding. We might do have a little bit more Yankees later, because they're so bad. Let's get to some, let's do some All-Star news quickly first. Let's just get the ads out of the way here. Jordan Westberg is replacing Rafael Devers. Rafael Devers, who says he'll be resting a injured shoulder, which he's obviously still playing through, and that's fine. It's good, good for him.
Yeah. We talked about this, Jordan, on the end of last episode about which veteran player was most likely to not like make up an injury, but to like find a way to get out of the game. And we thought it would be Will Smith. And it seems to be Rafi Devers. I understand he has a sore shoulder. I get that. He is clearly capable of playing right now through the sore shoulder.
He is. Like, I, as someone who wants to keep seeing Rafi Devers have the season, if he thinks this is what he needs to do to continue that, that's fine with me.
Totally fine. I don't care at all.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan Westbrook is going to be there instead. That fires me up. I just think it's funny that we were like, some veteran is going to make a half decent excuse to miss the game, and who's going to be. And it was
we could still have more of those. We could still have more excuses on the way, but he is the first hitter we heard as a replacement. Of course, we're still waiting. Like, we know there will be more injury replacements. I guess they're just still kind of solving those.
I can't make the All-Star game. My dog ate my homework.
Yeah. Although I will say it is odd, the sequence of this. Like, the timing is strange that, like, we found out about Westbrook replacing Devers before we found out about Devers, who we didn't even know this was going to be an issue until, like, yesterday. And before we found out who's replacing Tatis, you know, or Mookie. Like, that's weird to me. But anyway, whatever. So we'll get those replacements at some point in the National League. And then Tyler Glass. Before Glass now. Yeah.
Congratulations to Jordan Westbrook. What a freaking season. I mean, he's been unbelievable for the Orioles this year in the infield. Like, Adley and Gunnar get a lot of the praise, duh. But go look at Westbrook's numbers. He's been phenomenal. Also, like you said, the sequence of events. Him, Chelsea Janes, friend of the show, Washington Post tweeted this. He did a whole scrum about not making the All-Star game and then made the All-Star game. It's like, we know these things are going to happen, and there's really no good way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that could same thing could happen with Christian Walker, right? There's a big thing with that. So we'll see. Westbrook's been awesome, and the Orioles deserve more All-Stars. So, and by the way, like, I think he is, I would say, more deserving than Santander. I know I had Santander on my snubs list, and that was more of a positional thing. But, like, I think that I'm glad that he makes the list there. Another one who I was pretty close to putting on, again, I talk about a lot of pitchers, is Hunter Green. And this is a guy, I think Hunter Green is a fascinating, fascinating story. Like, I think the fact that he is not a bigger deal nationally, considering how relatively famous he was as an amateur and being the top pick and, like, getting to the big leagues quickly, speaks to how he's been just good enough, but not bad enough to where we're talking about him really ever over the last 2 years. And that it's put him in a very strange space. And obviously part of that is just being on the Reds. But I think that this is a cool honor because he has improved this year. He is generally throwing more strikes. Now the walks are still there, but he's been so much better, most notably at keeping the ball in the yard. That is the thing that is a huge difference for him, is preventing the home run more. And his pitch mix has just gotten better, and he's just a more mature pitcher. And yeah, I have no problem with him, you know, being an All-Star here. I think that's really cool. And he replaces Tyler Glass now, who, unfortunately, we were all celebrating how healthy he had been, and that he's, you know, careening towards already setting his season, you know, career high in single season innings, and now he goes on the IL with a back injury. So that really sucks if he's not even there, considering this is going to be his first All-Star game. I would love for him to still be there. I don't know if he is, but that would really be disappointing if he's not even going to be there, considering how long we've been waiting for him to finally be an All-Star. So that kind of sucks.
And then the other news we got is two more Home Run Derby participants, Jose Ramirez of the Guardians and Marcell Ozuna of the Braves. We'll do a whole Derby preview on Monday once we have the full field. I'm glad Ramirez is doing it. That's a fun one. He has done it before. Always cool to have switch hitters do it. I talked a little bit about Ozuna last episode and about how baseball is not doing the best job of, like, reckoning with the transgressions of his past, and how, you know, integral that story is to, like, his on-field performance because of like he was so bad at the beginning of the last year and it's just been so good since then, and how him being in this spotlight is uncomfortable for everyone. And maybe that's not fair. Not uncomfortable for everyone. Like, I'm sure that there are a large number of Braves fans who are like, you know, fine with this. But I'm very interested to see how he gets talked about as we move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And we hit that a little bit earlier this week. But yeah, I mean, I think it's disappointing from some perspectives, but I think that the league clearly handles these situations and how we talk about these players after they've served suspensions or what. Like, there's clearly a range of how the league treats these players, and maybe that's fair, maybe that's not. It's a difficult topic, and I think everyone absolutely has the right and should be handling it how they feel is comfortable. But obviously, for a lot of people, it is someone that you don't necessarily want to see celebrated, and I completely respect and generally agree with that standpoint.
And you don't need to hear this from me, but like, yeah, if you are watching Marcell Ozuna during the Home Run Derby and him being crafted as a victim or as someone who is, you know, succeeded through adversity makes you feel very uncomfortable, yeah, that's fine. Like, that's a totally legitimate way to take it in. All right, let's move forward here, Jordan. One trade yesterday. Mets acquiring Phil Maton. I don't have a whole lot to say about this. I do think it is funny, right? Wasn't Brooks Raley a former Astros reliever who the Rays signed for 2 years and then was traded to the Mets in the middle of his deal? They're doing the same thing with Phil Maton. What this really tells me is that the Mets are somewhat willing to go. Like, they're not selling this year. They're not going to sell off all the pieces in a way that it looked like they were a month and a half ago.
That's not my takeaway. It's more that, like, the bullpen's been so bad that, like, they cannot continue to watch. They don't want to let that sink their season. Like, they want to at least give themselves a chance to stay relevant to where they won't sell, but I don't think this means that they won't. I just think that, like, it had gotten so bad that they needed to add a competent guy, and Phil Maton is just the epitome of an average reliever that you can give you innings. And so they desperately need those. They have been so far below average that average would be an absolute godsend right now. So that's really what I would say that signals to me. We mentioned the Yankees briefly because they're really bad right now. They were 13 games up on the Boston Red Sox on June 10th. It is now July 10th, and they are 3.5 up on the Boston Red Sox. And after Boston beat Oakland last night and the Yankees lost to the Rays in Tampa, I loved this quote from Alex Cora, and I just wanted to share it because he's been talking about that. When I was in Boston a few weeks ago, he talked about, like, hey, like, we don't got to talk about the third wild card. Like, let's chase down the Yankees, you know? Let's do it. You know, they're playing like crap. He was saying that 2 weeks ago, and he's still correct. But this quote talking about how it's like, oh, because people are talking about, oh, the Red Sox, how are they, what direction are they going to go with the deadline? Well, clearly, they can't go backwards. I know Breslow seems been noncommittal. Cora's like, we're going. And in Cora's position, he's like, listen, I might not be here next year anyway. Like, as far as I'm concerned, I am here to win a World Series in 2023 or 2024. Sorry. Like, I'm here. This is why I'm here. So I don't care if you believe in our team or not. Like, I'm here for this year under contract. I'm going to try and win as many games as possible. And so he said, when people were like, oh, is there a window? Are we going for it? Can they Red Sox sneak in here? He said, we saw a window, but I think the window is getting bigger. It's actually a door.
Boom. That's a bar.
Oh, man. And when he said it, he kind of like smirked. He's like, that was a banger. It wasn't so, like in like things. The motivational, like, fire up guys, but like, because it was in a press conference setting. But I just love this. Do you think this landed? Do you think that this is a good line, or do you think it's cheesy and kind of not even make sense?
Yes. Yes to both. I mean, it's simple because some windows are bigger than some doors, right? You know, a doggy door versus an enormous glass pane, you know,
right.
It's different.
Right. Stained glass, but huge.
I would say the following. It was a window. Now it's a wide open entryway. You know, now it's a foyer. Now it's a hallway.
A hallway.
You know, now it's open, right? That's what you're trying to convey. this is why this may, here's my one critique here, right?
Right.
He's trying to say that our opportunity is larger than it once was, right? But there are two elements at play. One is the openness of the entity, and the other is the size of the entity, right? How open a closed door is less useful than an open window, right? But more commonly than not, a door is easier to open and walk through than a window is. And so I do believe that maybe I am nitpicking, and generally the logic here does track.
Yeah, I think that the key point you hit there, which I appreciate, is the ease of access between doors and windows, whether they're open or not. I think that Cora saying that if a door is open, it's going to be easier for us to walk through and, you know, pass the Yankees does make sense, because even if a window is very open, you still have to like get through the window, which might require some,
you got to climb up on the sill. And it's not, this is not one person, crawling through a window. This is 26 big boys. You know, a door is a much easier mode of entry. This wasn't the only silly quote we had from a coach. All 30 teams want Garrett Crochet. This has been making me laugh for the last week. White Sox manager Pedro Grifol was asked about Garrett Crochet. He's been the best pitcher in baseball. Is he going to get traded? He said, all 30 teams want Garrett Crochet, including the Chicago White Sox. All 30 teams. And my first thought was, which team wants him the least? And the answer might be the Chicago White Sox.
It sure seems that they might be at the bottom of the list as much as they are enjoying the experience right now. They continue the quote. If anybody had Garrett Crochet, all 30 teams, including us, want to be able to keep him, build around him. But that's not good business to shut those doors. Mm. Oh, back to the doors and windows.
Shut those windows.
You didn't say shut those windows. It's good business to open them. You have to see what it is, but that's not my job. My job is here, and I'll let those guys up there do that job.
I got a take on this.
Thank you, Pedro.
I would argue
more words of wisdom.
Yeah. Opening those windows. Open up those windows, because windows, you can talk through windows without allowing entry. If you have like a screen, you know, like one of those for bugs.
Right. Right. And here's the other thing about that is it shouldn't be easy to trade for or trade away Garrett Crochet. That should not be an easy thing, no matter what, no matter either side. Right. And so I don't know if a door or window is really appropriate when describing this in either direction. I think this is much more of a delicate proposition, but all 30 teams. Honestly, I would actually argue there's probably teams beyond Major League Baseball that also want Garrett Crochet. So, again, I don't like, you know, the Bay Stars' chances over in Japan to get Garrett Crochet anytime soon, but I bet they want him also. So,
Jordan, here's a pivot. Mm-hmm. Before we get out of here, we should talk about someone who's going to be behind a locked door for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Wander Franco.
It sure seems that way. Now, it seems like we have a trial ahead of us. We've been waiting for kind of an update on Wander, and news came out yesterday I guess ESPN reported Tampa Bay Rays shortstop Wander Franco has been formally charged with sexual abuse and sexual exploitation against a minor in the Dominican Republic. This is a story that is one of the more upsetting situations we've really encountered in the baseball space, certainly since we've been covering it. And it's a horrible situation that is very, very troubling and disgusting. And Wander Franco's not going to be playing baseball anytime soon. Clearly, this is still the beginning of this legal process, but it is really a horrible reminder of not just the situation here, but also just like, man, this is someone who threw away one heck of a potential career, making some really terrible mistakes, and that is just disappointing. And
he caused irreparable damage to a number of people, you know, and that is just a horrendous thing. And I mean, the importance of this particular nugget of news is that he is officially going to be charged. MLB has not issued any sort of suspension or punishment to him because they're waiting for the legal process in the Dominican Republic to play out. once that plays out, then we'll start to see how this impacts the baseball side of things, right? Which is obviously less important. But do not expect, and this is probably the best way to say it, Wander Franco is not going to play Major League Baseball again. Almost certainly. That's what, like, every additional piece of information that comes out, every next step in the process is pointing towards that reality. And that's what this news was a couple days ago. Jordan, yep. That's all we got. Yes. Let's get on out of here. Today, today I am journeying to Philadelphia to see the Dodgers take on the Phillies. And then tomorrow I am flying to Dallas, Texas, the land of the Metroplex, where I will see you, my dear friend, for All-Star Week.
Yes, all kinds of stuff coming up at All-Star, of course. Stay tuned. A lot of written features we're excited about, so stay tuned. You can email us, baseballbarbercast@gmail.com. Thank you to Andrew Hartz for producing this episode of Baseball Barbercast, and we will talk to you guys all later this week in Texas.